Good morning. This is Aiden Menchaca, and you are listening to Tchaikovsky's Canon. I hope you're doing well on this fine morning. It's 5:01, and you're listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford. So today, we will be having an interesting show today, listening to music of pre-war Germany. And so what is interesting about this period is that from really after the First World War to World War II, there was a period of great creativity in German music. There was a prevalence of great jazz, and there was also a prevalence of great classical music. And in fact, Richard Strauss was one of the people composing at this time. One of the problems and challenges of this area was that many marginal groups, like Jewish composers and many other composers, they were silenced by the Nazi regime. So the goal of the show is to bring out some of those silences and show you the character of liberal musicians who were suppressed by the German regime. And so that was the first piece, of course, by Richard Strauss. And so today we're going to have a great selection, though. The next piece we'll be playing is a piece by Paul Hindemith, which is the first section of Matthias der Mahler. So I hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening. Here we go. Matthias der Mahler by Paul Hindemith.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we're back. So that piece right there was Clarinet Concerto 2, the second part, Nocturne by Berthold Goldschmidt. and before that, we began the show with Die Tote Stadt by Erich Wolfgang Korngold, an exile composer, much like all of these. We then moved on to Anton Webern, whose music was considered degenerate by the Nazi regime, played by Pierre Boulez, the famous conductor who passed away last year. Then we looked at Ernest Bloch, and we had From a Jewish Life, number one, Prayer. So I hope you are enjoying the music. Here's a public service announcement. Numbers to think about. World wealth distribution. The world's eight richest billionaires control as much wealth as half of the world's population combined, according to an Oxfam International report presented at the 2017 World Economic Forum in Davos. These eight men own the same as 3.6 billion people who make up the poorest half of humanity. In 2010, by comparison, it took the combined assets of 43 richest people to equal those of the poorest 50%. Since 2009, the wealth of the super rich has increased by an average of 11% annually, while income for many workers has remained essentially unchanged. Numbers to think about from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. So we're going to have a very rare piece coming up, Miserai by Carl Hartmann. A composer in Germany whose work was largely forgotten because he had no conductor in order who championed his work. You know, Leonard Bernstein, for example, championed Gustav Mahler and many others, and so that's why their music survives. This music was written in response to a Walt Whitman poem, and it directly takes on the Nazi regime. So I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
And we're back. So that was Miserai by Carl Hartman. And I think you can see just how revolutionary that piece was. You know, very rare, actually. The only recording I could find was on YouTube. Kind of a shame because it's just as good as the music that we've heard that's been recorded over and over again. Music like Schoenberg's music, Webern's music, and many others. And so, in fact, the final piece we have today is another longer piece. It's by Arnold Schoenberg, and it's called Ode to Napoleon. And so what this is Lord Byron's poem about Napoleon and about the vices of Napoleon set to music. And it's largely a critique of totalitarianism and Nazi Germany. And so I hope you really enjoyed it. It really shows his surrealist 12-tone technique, and it's a very interesting pairing of literature and music. I almost played it for the last show, which was literary music, but just a little too long. Perfect for right now, however. So thanks for listening to Tchaikovsky Canon. Here's Arnold Schoenberg.
Yesterday, a king, and armed with kings to strive. But now, thou art a nameless thing, so abject, yet alive. Is this the man of thousand thrones, who strewed our earth with hostile bones? And can he thus survive? Since he miscalled the morning star, nor man nor fiend hath fallen so far. Ill-minded man, why scourge thy kind who bowed so low the knee? By gazing on thyself grown blind, thou taught'st the rest to see. With might unquestioned, power to save, thine only gift has been the grave to those that worship thee. Nor till thy fall could mortals guess ambitions less than littleness. Thanks for that lesson. It will teach to after warriors more than a high philosophy can preach and vainly preach before. That spell upon the minds of men breaks, never to unite again, that led them to adore those pagod things of saber sway, with fronts of brass and feet of clay. The triumph and the vanity, the rapture of the strife, the earthquake voice of victory. To thee the breath of life, the the sword, the scepter, and that sway which man seemed made but to obey, wherewith renown was rife, all quelled. Dark spirit, what must be the madness of thy memory? The desolator. Desolate. The victor, overthrown, the arbiter of others' fate. A suppliant for his own. Is it some yet imperial hope that with such change can calmly cope? Or dread of death alone? To die a prince, or live a slave? Thy choice is most ignobly brave. The oak dreamed not of the rebound. Chained by the trunk, he vainly broke. Alone, how looked he round? Thou, in the sternness of thy strength, an equal deed hast done at length, and darker fate hast found. He fell, the forest prowler's prey, but thou must eat thy heart away. The Roman, when his burning heart was slaked with blood of Rome, threw down the dagger, but dared depart in savage grandeur. Home he dared depart in utter scorn of men that such a yoke had borne, yet left him such a doom. His only glory was that hour of self-upheld, abandoned power. The Spaniard, when the lust of sway had lost its quickening spell, cast crowns for rosaries away, an empire for a cell. A strict accountant of his beads, a subtle disputant on creeds, his dotage trifle well. Yet better had he neither known a bigger shrine nor despot's throne. The thunderbolt is rung. Too late thou leav'st the high command to which thy weakness clung. All evil spirit as thou art, it is enough to grieve the heart to see thine own unstrung, to think that God's fair world hath been the footstool of a thing so mean, and earth hath spilt her blood for him thus can hoard his own. And monarchs bowed the trembling limb and thanked him for a throne. Fair freedom, we may hold thee dear when thus thy mightiest foes their fear in the humblest guise have shown. Oh, ne'er may tyrant leave behind a brighter name to lure mankind. Thine evil deeds are writ in gore, not written thus in vain. Thy triumphs tell of fame no more, or deepen every stain. If thou hadst died as honor dies, some new Napoleon might arise to shame the world again. But who would soar the solar height to set in such a star's night? Weighed in the balance, hero dust is vile as vulgar clay. Thy scales, mortality, are just to all that pass away. But yet, methought, the living great some higher sparks should animate to dazzle and dismay. Nor deemed contempt could thus make mirth of these, the conquerors of the earth. Proud Austria's mournful flower, thy still imperial bride, how bears her breast the torturing hour? Still clings she to thy side? Must she too share thy late repentance, long despair? Thou throneless homicide, if still she loves thee, hoard that gem, 'tis worth thy vanished diadem. Then haste thee to thy sullen isle, and gaze upon the sea. That element may meet thy smile, it ne'er was ruled by thee. Or trace with thine all-idle hand, in loitering mood, upon the sand. Earth is now as free, that Corinth's pedagogue hath now transferred his byword to thy brow. Thou, Timor, in his captive's cage, what thoughts will there be thine, while brooding in thy prison's rage, but one, the world was mine? Unless like he of Babylon, or senses with thy scepter gone, life will not long confine that spirit poured so widely forth, so long obeyed, so little worth. All like the thief of fire from heaven, wilt thou withstand the shock and share with him the unforgiven, his vulture and his rock? For doomed by God, by man accursed, at that last act, will not thy worst the very fiend's arch mock? He, in his fall, preserved his pride, and if a mortal had as proudly died. There was a day, there was an hour, while earth was Gaul's, Gaul thine, when that immeasurable power, unsated to resign, had been an act of purer fame than gathers round Marengo's name, and gilded thy decline through the long twilight of all time, despite some passing clouds of crime. But thou, forsooth, must be a king and don the purple vest, as if that foolish robe could wring remembrance from thy breast. Where is that faded garment? Where the gewgaws thou wert fond to wear? The star, the string, the crest? Vain flower child of empire, say, are all thy playthings snatched away? When gazing on the great, when either guilty glory glows, nor despicable state. Yes, one, the first, the last, the best, the Cincinnatus of the West, whom envy dare not hate. Bequeathed the name of Washington to make men blush.